Good evening. Thank you for inviting me to come. And because I was transferred now to the parish of Nazareth in the north of Israel, I brought with me my successor, Father Bahjat, who will continue this road of the Via Crucis with the presence and with the service in Aleppo. And I hope that he will do better than me, continuing a little bit all the projects, not only the spiritual service, but also all the humanitarian service in collaboration with ICO and with all our friends. I tried to answer. First, I say my warm greeting to Monsignor Herman, who came to Aleppo. I can see many friends who visited us. We remember also Slavomir, Ursula, Stefan. Stefan couldn't come with Ursula, but we hope in the next months that they will arrive. I thank Christine because of this beautiful representation of this complex of the crisis in Syria. Really, for 9 years, I assisted many, many congresses and meetings, but I can say that it is one of the best manifestation of all the complex of the situation of Syria today. In the same time, I am happy to see Brother Jerry, who is present with the Jesuit community in Homs. I didn't see him yet there, but I am glad to know him here. We will begin. No? Okay, I will begin speaking. When we are ready for short films, we are ready to show you something. I would like to thank you for inviting me to your annual meeting. It is my honor and joy to share this day with you all. I am particularly excited to meet our dear friends, our partners in relief work, whom we weren't able to meet face-to-face in Aleppo, but we are meeting them face-to-face for the first time here in Salisburg. I came here to express my gratitude for for your generosity and for all that you have done in humanity relief everywhere, and especially for those suffering in Aleppo. The current situation in Aleppo, I think that Brother Jerry spoke about many points, but it is also beautiful and important to repeat, insisting on some of them. The most expressive words that explain the reality situation in Aleppo can be taken from the words of His Holiness Pope Francis during one of his recent meetings about Syria. When we think, I am taking the words of the Holy Pope, when we think of Syria, there comes to mind the verse in the Book of Lamentations, "Vast as the sea is your ruin, who can heal you?" Those words refer to the sufferings of Jerusalem, but they also make us think of the sufferings endured by the Syrian people in these 12 years of violent conflict. If we consider the number of the dead and wounded, the destruction of entire quarters and villages, as well as important infrastructures, including healthcare institutions, it is natural to ask Syria, who can now heal you? International observers tell us that the crisis in Syria continues to be one of the most serious worldwide in terms of destruction, growing humanitarian needs, social and economic collapse, and poverty and famine at dire levels. In the fact of such immense suffering, the Church is called to be a field hospital and to heal wounds, both physical and spiritual. We think of the words of the Gospel that evening at sundown. They brought to Jesus all who were sick and possessed with demons. The whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases. It is the Lord who heals. We have entered the 12th year of war, and it is not over yet. We are faced with a war of wars, which is still raging and continuing non-stop, with all the consequences of this continuation. The city of Aleppo is 60% destroyed, and the only party that has repaired houses is the church, while the government was able only to restore squares, streets, and some basic amenities for life. On the other hand, the country has been deprived of its many natural resources. There is not a single oil or gas well left for the benefit of the people. Consequently, we are suffering from serious shortages, and gasoline and fuel for cars. Sometimes ago, a driver told me that from Aleppo to Damascus, he had not seen more than 20 cars passing in front of him. For lack of petrol, traffic is very limited, very few cars on the road. Therefore, fuel oil is also practically not existent. The family's annual share of diesel for heating is only 50 liters, as the subsidized price at the subsidized price used for house and water heating, while it is freezing cold in the city in winter and people's bodies are weak, too weak to cope. Due to lack of resources, we have a humiliating electrical crisis. In Aleppo, the government has been able to repair the city's thermal center, which has destroyed in 2015, hoping that this can alleviate the suffering of the inhabitants and the darkness in which they live. Less than 3 weeks later, the center was closed due to lack of fuel. Now, amid the city's sweltering summer heat, power is available for just 1 hour after 14 hours outage. People are suffering and desperate. Houses have turned into ovens, and people cannot sleep at night because of the heat. They cannot even have a fan turned on. Moms cannot run a washing machine and cannot save food for the next day because the fridges do not work. Due to the lack of resources and the economic blockade, the city, which was the economic capital of Syria, has become paralyzed, while its inhabitants, who are distinguished by activity, vigor, and hard work, complain of lack of work and the high rate of unemployment. Since cooking gas is scarce, each family gets one propane tank every 70 days at the subsidized price. Once it is consumed, while waiting for the new tank, mothers do not know what to feed their children, and it becomes impossible for them to heat water to provide a hot drink for their families. If the family chooses to buy a tank from the black market, they have to pay 3 times the price they actually pay for a subsidized tank. It is normal in these circumstances for inflation to soar to infinity. Indeed, we are witnessing a gradual collapse of the Syrian pound against the dollar. Because of this reality, the prices of all commodities, especially foodstuffs, are constantly rising, while employees' salaries and the pensions of retired employees remain the same, which can hardly buy 2.5 kilos of meat per month. The family spends this monthly pension in just 4 days for food. Thus, the percentage of families below poverty line who constantly complain of hunger and deprivation is increasing. Indeed, according to our studies, more than 85% of our families live below the poverty line and cannot meet their basic needs. There are many other challenges, one of which is the problem of healthcare and medication. Since the beginning of the crisis, a large number of doctors and nurses have immigrated. Many hospitals have been destroyed or partially destroyed. In addition to the lack of effective health insurance for those who fall ill, the cases of cancer, multiple sclerosis, and Alzheimer have been risen remarkably and rapidly as the government, which once provided all the expensive drugs for major diseases, can no longer provide them today. This places a burden on the patient's family that they absolutely cannot bear. With the lack of resources, the patient does not dare to go to the doctor because he cannot pay the visit fees and the price of medication. And if he needs surgery, he does not have the money to do that. With all the missiles launched on at us, there is a terrible level of pollution in the city, which make healthy lungs suffer from all respiratory diseases. In addition to these diseases, the majority of people suffer from enlarged adenoids and need an operation because of what they have inhaled and inhaling. Since 2019, the last leg of the way of our cross began in Aleppo, when the effects renewed economic sanctions began to take effect year after year, which generally affect the afflicted and the poor. With these sanctions, the corona pandemic has come to announce an alliance against man and his dignity. If the hospitals in Europe, especially intensive care units there, with all the medical staff are not enough to deal with the health crisis due to the pandemic, then imagine what the situation is for us in Aleppo, with a raging war and a destroyed city. Imagine the number of ventilators are available in all hospitals. How do you persuade people to starve, spend hundreds and thousands of hours at the bakers for daily bread, and people who work every day from morning to night to observe social distancing or even stop working for weeks until the waves of the pandemic recede? Then came the sad crisis of Ukraine, because of which we felt pain, when we saw our tragedy repeated in another devastated country like ours, which led to a shortage of wheat, and this increased the suffering, especially hunger. What is more, in recent days, because of the lack of hygiene and sterilization, cholera and typhoid have reappeared with force in the country in general and in Aleppo in particular, while the strange and varied respiratory infections recorded a frightening increase. This has forced hospitals to stop elective surgeries. All these harsh living conditions make life unbearable for an individual and family in Syria. Consequently, the waves of immigration affecting the population, in particular the minority, the Christian minority, are multiplying to the point that we are witnessing a repetition of what happened in the northeast of the country in the 1990s, when the majority of Christians immigrated abroad. In 2014, when I arrived in Aleppo, two-thirds of Aleppo's population had already left, while the remaining third was scattered around the city, moving from house to house to escape the missiles and shells. Today, after more than 11 years, we have successive waves of immigration affecting our young men, women, and young families, making the country increasingly poorer than those whose future we hope to build. Thus, the remaining third diminished, while those who have immigrated do not return. I say clearly and sadly that our society has become as a miserable person who cannot even cry out from hunger and sickness. It has become as a patient who struggles and lives on resuscitation, lives on machines and tubes and artificial respiration. He is unable to continue living without full support in all aspects of life, or he will die. This is how the status of the Christian minority has become in Syria in general and in Aleppo in particular. Our society in Aleppo, and especially the Christian community, has become unbalanced in terms of the large number of old people remaining and the large number of children, while it lacks its young men and women. It has become an unbalanced society in terms of the presence of many women, while the number of men and young men has distractedly decreased. It is an unbalanced society, as a large percentage of those who remain bear the wounds of war, especially depression and other mental illness. However, worst of all is the lack of solutions, leaving the city and the country hanging in the air with no hope for a better future. This is what causes despair to reign in hearts when there is no possibility of improvement. In my service for almost 9 years, I spoke only of hope, because I often saw despair cast its shadow over people. Even today, this remains our greatest challenge. The intervention of the Franciscan brothers in relief work, in addition to spiritual service. In these circumstances, our church found itself in a struggle for existence in front of its children forced to immigrate. As custodians of the Holy Land, the Franciscans found themselves in front of a people stripped of their dignity by inhuman living conditions, and like good Samaritans, they rolled up their sleeves to help their starving and distressed children, trying with their limited resources to lighten the weight of the cross that weighs on people. On the other hand, we as Franciscan, but I can say in general as a church, we have become as a reliable reference, the main point of reference in the midst of the turmoil. So we moved and launched projects for the benefit of Christians first, then for the benefit of all the inhabitants of the city, until to what we achieve in 2016, continuous management of more than 40 humanitarian and development projects so far. From subsidized the food basket to subsidize the costs of non-government generated electricity, to covering medical expenses for patients and those in need of expensive surgeries. We have not forgotten the aspect called the reconstruction aspect. We have rebuilt and restored more than 1,700 houses, and we have helped in small projects more than 1,500 young people, fathers and mothers, start up small projects to get them started up and enable them to depend on themselves. In our pastoral and humanitarian work, we have focused on children and their needs from birth, even before they are born. In addition to spiritual service at all levels, assistance was provided for pregnancy costs and its follow-up until payment of the cost of childbirth, then the provision of nappies and infant formula. Also the distributing of clothes twice a year for about 1,000 of children and contributing to the payment of tuition and university fees for hundreds of young men and women. We focused on young people who want to get married, so the help was in the form of gifts for young men who are planning to get married, as well as the course of preparation for marriage. These donations ranged from the costs of engagement and wedding rings to the payment of 1 year's rent for a house, the purchase of electrical appliances and household furniture, or even contribution to the repair of a dilapidated house where the newly wed live. In fact, no one of our sons here can start a family without our help. Our work has not harmed the care of many elderly people from the age of 60 in a city where the pension is only symbolic, onward, who were abandoned by their children in the city seeking a better life by immigrating abroad. They need human and spiritual support, and this was an integral part of our daily work with all the financial burdens it entails. Also, in a country wounded by war, which cannot take care of its wounded, the mentally ill and the mentally and psychically handicapped, we have tried to take care of those who carry this kind of cross by supporting the family who takes care of them in all possible ways. The warm meal, soup kitchen for the poor, its necessity and its realization. After the start and continuation of the economical sanction against Syria, and after the suffocating corona crisis, which increased the pain and suffering of the population, and with the continuous deterioration of the economic situation, we began to perceive hunger increasing among the people of Aleppo. During one of the children's catechism sessions, for example, after serving hamburgers to them, we heard the children whisper among themselves. Some of them did not believe what they saw until looking at the piece of meat offered, and some of them have eaten a part of the hamburger and saved the rest for his brothers and sisters at home. We felt the need. We noted extreme poverty. In most homes, people don't eat meat. Cheese and fruit are eaten only on feast days. So we started thinking about a way to respond to this reality and this need. The idea of establishing a table for the poor in the city was to ease the burden of hunger on people's shoulders. At first, the problem seemed like a dream. Due to the difficulty of finding and equipping a venue and the huge financial costs involved, in the end, the hand of the divine providence intervened, as we were able to salvage a house for the nearby church, and God sent help through ICO and friends to start this pioneering project to guarantee work for 30 of our Christians and to start serving meals for 400 persons a day, 3 times a week, until reached of 2,000 persons, 1,000 persons a day from all walks of life, Christian and Muslims, who need it most. After several months, we were able to add a bakery to the kitchen to be ready to serve pastries and even bread in the extreme case to people, especially after the start of the Ukrainian crisis and the resulting shortage of wheat. Until today, this project is unique in Syria in terms of the number of beneficiaries and in terms of continuity over months and years without interruption, despite all the circumstances, is the main relief project that responds to the needs of the people today in Aleppo. We called it the project of the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes because we have seen it from its inception until today, the providence of God, remembering the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and the 2 fishes that Jesus accomplished, feeding thousands of those who followed him into the wilderness. In this case, with our generous friends of ICO, our main partners in this project, we have been cooking and serving meals for months. Without their involvement, we could not have started and moved ahead. A long and fruitful cooperation process with ICO. This project of 5 loaves and 2 fishes was not the first of a loving partnership with ICO. As the history of cooperation is long, dating back to 2018, when the Spirit of the Lord began to touch hearts in the light of the decline of support provided by many donors, so that the ICO has started cooperating by supporting a few small projects for people who lost their livelihood, then included support to children. The distribution of clothes was done to us twice a year for more than 1,200 children. Then the support of the after-school educational center, the support of summer activities, oratory, and the youth summer camps. Mothers had a good part of the attention. So we distribute health kits for them and the Mother's Day's gift. Then support reached poor families, including offering Easter meal to the needy. We can give to all these projects the name of 5 loaves and the 2 fishes because each of them is a manifestation of the love and tenderness of God for his people through the white hands that have supported and still supporting us. I may have overlooked something, and the few words may not convey the magnitude of the support and help we have received from ICO. But God, who sees all, even in hearts, knows everything and rewards everyone who gives to his neighbor for every penny and every deed of love. Aleppo needs today. For me today, as a shepherd who lived with his parish in Aleppo for 9 years, I can speak of the basic needs of suffering people, such as food and health support. As I mentioned earlier, the project of the soup kitchen should continue in the reality of the city according to its needs. In addition, there is a constant need for health coverage, from doctor visits and medications to covering the costs of surgeries. The priorities are the same in terms of caring for everyone, everything concerning children, fragile and weak elements who need protection and support more than others to grow, nappies and milk, school tuition fees and educational center after school, from health adoption, activities that develop them such as catechism, oratory and the summer camp to distribution of clothes. I hope with all my heart that this generous support from generous institutions will continue and even grow stronger until the day dawns on Aleppo, until the peace that we all pray for comes to Aleppo, the Middle East, and the world. Aleppo, where to? In fact, we know nothing about the future of Aleppo, nor the future of its inhabitants. We feel like we are hanging on the cross between earth and heaven. It is as if we are walking in a dark tunnel of which we do not see the end. This world war in stages, as the Holy Pope St. Francis said, which began in Aleppo and continues now in Ukraine and elsewhere, is long and arduous. As the Italian proverb says, when elephants fight, the grass groans under their feet. We feel like this grass. We feel like a ball at the feet of many players with a dozen regular armies of different regular armies on our land. Until a decision is reached between all parties, the Aleppo crisis and indeed the Syrian crisis cannot be resolved. Amidst the high, choppy waves hitting the ship, we feel safe, guided by our faith. Jesus is present in this boat, even if he seems asleep there, as usually. He is the skillful captain who has looked after and cared for us for over 11 years, and he completes the voyage. Many times after the parish mass, with those present, we joked and say, are we still here in Aleppo, alive and breathing, after all these missiles that fell on us? Or we are attending mass in heaven and don't feel where we are? Our life itself is the greatest miracle, the miracle of the present century. Our continued existence, despite the rocket falling on us and despite the waves of hunger, pandemics, and unrest, is a miracle that testifies to the resurrection of Jesus, who conquered death by his death, giving life, declaring his victory over all evil and over all darkness, with his love and tenderness, with his mercy and care. Our role in creating the future. It is not true that we are helpless and cannot do anything. It is through Jesus in us that we make history. It seems that we are weak and a helpless small remnant. But in fact, as a small parish of 600 families, as consecrated family made up of three Franciscan friars, in cooperation with some brave consecrated people, generous priests and bishops, and with the sacrifices of our lay co-workers, we carried Aleppo on our shoulders and led our parishioners and all Aleppo inhabitants all these years to safe harbor. History and the people confirm this, and the city officials attest also to that. The risen Lord made us a life raft, and in through us brought for the salvation the disastrous circumstances that the city experienced. It is not true that we are helpless and cannot do anything, because through love we are able to do miracles. We alone are weak, but with the Lord and with you, beloved, we are a strength indomitable. We are strong in love, strong because we are together. our loved ones of ICO, and all those who think of us and help us with all goodwill. We are truly capable of working miracles. This is what happened in recent years and which we hope will continue. The Lord blesses partnership based on Him, based on love. He blesses the union of hearts and minds and offers us all His blessings, as He did with the first Christian community of which St. Luke speaks in the Acts of the Apostles, which was one spirit and one heart, and there was no needy among them. Conclusion and thanks. For more than 8 centuries, the Lord has entrusted to us Franciscans in the custody of the Holy Land the task of representing the Universal Church in the Middle East. The Middle East, who felt the trampling of the feet of Jesus, Paul, Barnabas, and all other apostles, and the first believers walking on it, going to all the world to proclaim the good news. One of our principal mission was always to take care of the suffering persons among our Christians and all the suffering believers of other religions. But we cannot carry out this message in any way without your love and without your participation. You are our partners in love, our partners in mission. To protect the dignity of a human being. We do not break as long as there are hearts that think of us. We do not break as long as there are people who love and think of those who suffer among us like you. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Song of Solomon. Just as the economic crisis resulting from wars and pandemic cannot stop the flow of love that burns in the heart of every Christian and every person with a good will. We thank you with all our heart, ICO. We have done great work and we'll do more. We will do more together with the help of the Lord and your love. We thank you, our brother Slavomir, Ursula, especially our brother Stefan, who represents you for all his efforts and sacrifices, for his precious work, and for his communication with us day and night, even during the night. We thank for all friends, the ICO family, the ICO community, and every institution that cooperates with it to make the charity work a success. With the blessing of the Lord, we will complete the journey of love, hand in hand, of one mind and one heart, caring for our brothers in need. Thank you.